нашим ЗСО і вільному народу, бо немає переводу козацькому роду. Слава нашим ЗСО, бо де мир та згода, бо немає переводу козацькому роду.
Ой, у полі калинонька файно розцвітає, наші хлопці соколоньки всіх перемагають, буде нашим козаченькам слава по заслузі, не зламати червоненько калину у лузі.
Слава
honored artist of Ukraine, Yaroslava Rudenko, with a tribute to Ukraine's armed forces, Slava Nashim ZSU. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» радіо українського коріння, на радіостанції CHLY, 101.7 FM у місті Нанаймо. Говорить Павіна. Добрий день and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you here on CHLY 101.7 FM in beautiful downtown Nanaimo. I'm your host, Paulina. On today's show, a book review that is a recent book about Putin's war against Ukraine. Daria Lesenko recently conducted a fascinating interview on our YouTube channel, and you can get a sneak preview of that in today's show on the topic of Ukraine's Oscar-winning film, 20 Days in Mariupol. As well, the news from Ukraine, courtesy the Kyiv Independent, our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and, of course, great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a very recent release, Local. This is Adrian Glynn of Vancouver, who recently released an album as a tribute to his Ukrainian grandparents who fled war-torn Europe after World War II and came to Canada. You can hear the interview with him on last week's program if you missed it. Here is another song from his album, You're Just a Place That I Know, and a song called I Will Wait to Hear From You.
When the armies leave all their spirits at our doors, I will from you, and the quiet lake isn't even on the shore. I will wait to hear from you, to hear from you. When the mountains shift and the rivers plunge in you, when the planets drift and the seasons
Вітаю, це Антон Лисенко. Підписуйтеся на YouTube-канал «Радіо Наш Голос». Для вас ми запрошуємо у нашу студію відомих канадських та українських експертів, політиків та культурних діячів. Ми говоримо про реалії сьогодення та аналізуємо події, що минули. Наш Голос – радіо українського коріння.
Вражої охрани втекли два отамани, зірвалися соколики на волю. Поблизу гуляй поля в пологах зупинились, у хаті біля старої верби. Обидва всі в ранах, махновські партизани зціліли після розстрілів в Криму. Хильнули трохи смаги, та й пісню затягнули про батька та й про доленьку лиху. Гей, друже, гей, брате, болячі мої рани, а в грудях ще дужче пече. Навіщо, навіщо козацькі отамани москаликам підставили плече? Не вірте червоним, не вірте комунякам, слова їх, що полова на вітру. Ми Врангеля здолали, ми перекопи взяли, за них метою виграли війну. За подвиги, за наші чекісти комісари могилами віддячили в степу. Було на 40 тисяч, а стало 800, що вирвались із пасти у Криму. Гей, друже, гей, брате, скажіть всьому народу, що нам оті москалі не брати. Ми билися за волю, вони за нові тюрми, і з Леніним, і з Троцьким на чолі.
And Taras Jytinsky with an anarchist song from about 100 years or so ago, Spid Vrajoyi Ochrane, from the enemy's prison.
This is Anton Lysenko for Nash Volos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Don't miss our in-depth interviews on the Nash Volos YouTube channel with Canadian and Ukrainian politicians, experts and artists. Find the link in the podcast show notes or simply search Nash Volos Ukrainian Roots Radio on YouTube. Enhance your Ukrainian culture journey with Nash Volos.
Today we will talk about the first Ukrainian Oscar, the scandal with Disney video broadcast of the award presentation to Mstislav Chernov, and the realities of Ukrainian cinema in wartime with Roman Kabachi, historian, publicist and media expert, Daria Lysenko, specially for Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Radio. The full version of this interview is available on our YouTube channel. Subscribe.
Рішення про те, які фільми, тобто які номінації будуть показані в короткій версії, було задовго до самої церемонії. Mm-hmm. Це образливо для нас, це образливо для жертв цієї війни. Ну, вочевидь, не можна сказати, що Оскар ніколи не був політичним. От, і, як ви сказали, те, що стрічку про політичного в'язня Навального було нагороджено минулого року, тобто це в принципі є політичне рішення. Але так само звучали факти про те, що передовсім за мистецьку якість наш фільм нагороджено, не лише тому, що це фільм про теперішню війну. Промова Мстислава Чернова була настільки сильною, що представники Діснея побоялися її транслювати ще раз. От, тому що ну, все було відіграно настільки бездоганно, що це було на таких емоціях для нас всіх, що ми не могли повірити, що цю промову потім не покажуть. От, але головне, щоб фільм прозвучав і що люди ходитимуть на нього. От він збирає нагороди, тобто Оскар – це вже не перша нагорода цього фільму. Багато хто підходить ну, в світі до того, що мистецтво мусить бути поза політикою, а ну, українська війна є такою, що постійно треба говорити про неї, постійно нагадувати. І, власне, творці фільму, вони наголошують на тому, що це лише перші 20 днів цієї війни в окремо взятому місті. А ракети прилітають щодня, обстріли таких міст, як Херсон чи Харків, щодня. І це просто багатьом у світі важко усвідомити, що ну, які зусилля Україна і ті, хто Україні допомагають, витрачають на те, щоб протистояти цій навалі. Ми не знаємо, скільки нас чекає ще Ізюмів, Буч, коли ми визволимо наступні території. А зараз, коли ми очікуємо рішення Нижньої палати США про допомогу, то ми бачимо, що Росія це використовує і наступає по всіх флангах. Тобто мистецтво в даному випадку, культурна дипломатія повинна працювати на повну силу, але, на жаль, багато хто навіть в Україні не підходить до цього з належною повагою, з належною увагою. Ну, треба, щоб стара діаспора працювала з новою діаспорою. Тобто, щоб люди не відчували себе покинутими. Знов-таки, ну, я знаю, як це на польському ґрунті працює. Поселенці з акції «Вісла», вони спершу були в шоці з того, скільки нових українців приїхало, дуже часто сприймали їх за русифікованих, але зараз трошки взяли в оборот. Недільні школи, гуртки, церква, все разом це включилося в процес, і ті, хто хочуть залишитися українцями, ті, хто хочуть залишитися при українській культурі, їм треба показати, що можливості є, що є з ким говорити, куди ходити. І це працювати.
You can find Daria Lesenko's full interview with media expert and journalist Roman Kabachi on the Nash Holos YouTube channel. There, Roman shares insights with her into the documentary 20 Days in Mariupol, which recently received an Oscar at this year's Academy Awards. He also describes the challenges facing Ukrainian cinema during wartime. In Ukrainian with English subtitles. Search for us on YouTube or check the podcast show notes for the link. And again, make sure to check out the Nash Holos YouTube channel and do join the many new subscribers who are enjoying the information and the fascinating interviews that Anton and Daria Lesenko bring to us. And if you haven't seen the movie 20 Days in Mariupol, although it's not easy to watch, definitely it is a must watch. And I'll put the link in the show notes as well. Coming up next, a song by Marina and Company, and it is a song about a nasty neighbor, something Ukraine knows a lot about.
Слухайте наш голос Радіо Українського коріння, котре подається вам на хвилі CHLY 101.7 FM у місті Нанаймо.
You're listening to Наш Голос Ukrainian Roots Radio on CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo.
Чорне море, Чорне море. Море, Чорне море, гарне море, а все одно чорна гора. Ніхто не зна,
from Edmonton, and their most recent CD, about their fifth, I think. Budmohe is the name of the album, and that song was Chorna Mora, Black Sea. Welcome to Knishka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, stories about Ukraine and Ukrainians in English.
In this edition of Knishka Corner, we will be discussing Samuel Ramani's book, Putin's War on Ukraine, Russia's Campaign for Global Counter-Revolution. Published in 2023, Samuel Ramani's Putin's War on Ukraine is a comprehensive analysis of the causes, events, and impacts of Putin's special operation. The very first sentence of this book is a stark reminder of how Putin's war on Ukraine began. On the 24th of February 2022, Russian President Vladimir Putin announced the start of a special military operation aimed at the demilitarization and denazification of Ukraine. The first chapter outlines the structure of Ramani's book. The next three chapters discuss the history of Putin's decision to invade Ukraine. They explain the Russian efforts to overturn the Euromaidan revolution and prop up the government of Viktor Yanukovych, the subsequent Russian takeover of Crimea and parts of eastern Ukraine, and the run-up to Putin's decision to launch a full-scale invasion of Ukraine in February 2022. The next three chapters outline the inadequacies of Russia's military forces, its losses and successes on the battlefield, and the results of Ukraine's counteroffensive. The final chapters describe the results of Putin's failed invasion, the impact of sanctions on the Russian economy, and the changing status of Russia as a global power. On February the 24th, 2022, Putin decided to launch a full-scale invasion of Ukraine. The scale of Russia's invasion of Ukraine is unprecedented in modern history and, in terms of human costs, is Moscow's largest military intervention in the post-1945 period. Although the world community looked on in horror when the invasion began, there were warning signs before the tanks rolled into Ukraine. Russia had not stopped interfering in Ukrainian politics since Ukraine became independent in 1991. Viktor Yanukovych led the pro-Russian faction in Ukraine, and with his overthrow in 2014, Russia decided to limit Ukraine's ability to forge links to the West. Their troops moved into Crimea and parts of Donbas and Luhansk. They declared Crimea to be part of Russia. But there was ongoing Ukrainian resistance to the takeover in the eastern provinces. Despite several peace agreements to stop Russian military incursions, Russia maintained the frozen conflict in the eastern provinces. When Putin decided it was time to launch a full-scale invasion in 2022, he justified this military intervention with various false accusations. Ukraine was committing genocide against its Russian-speaking people. NATO was trying to use Ukraine as a base for operations against Russia. Ukraine was creating biological, chemical, nuclear weapons programs. And Ukraine was a Nazi country which needed to be demilitarized. The Russian invasion of 2022 did not result in a full-scale takeover of Ukraine. The resistance, led by Volodymyr Zelensky, was fierce as Ukrainians defended their territories. What was billed as a three-day march to triumph in Kyiv turned into a long, brutal, and deadly battle between Russian and Ukrainian forces. The narrative that Russia was the world's second strongest military has been eviscerated, while the story of Ukrainian patriotic resilience took its place. Russian citizens supported the war effort, and those that spoke out against it either left the country or were arrested and sent to prison. Major critics of Putin were imprisoned, including Alexei Navalny and Vladimir Kara-Murza. Media criticism was outlawed, Putin's authoritarian regime became even more entrenched than it had been before the war, as sanctions expanded and impacted the Russian economy. However, Putin underestimated the West's support for the Ukrainian democracy, as well as Zelensky's leadership. Russian war crimes multiplied in cities such as Bucha and Mariupol, infiltration camps, and in the forced removal of Ukrainian children to Russia. At the same time, Putin expanded his relationships with countries such as India, China, Iran, and North Korea. As a result, there has been a marked change in Russia's status and influence in the global community of nations. Russia's ability to lobby for its interests in Western countries has greatly diminished. Rahmani has provided a thorough and comprehensive analysis of Putin's invasion of Ukraine. His conclusions about the war were made in 2023. Since then, the reluctance of the Republican Party in the United States Congress to provide funds for military support of Ukraine has resulted in setbacks for the Ukrainian war effort. It remains to be seen what the future will hold for Ukraine, with an American presidential election in 2024. Rahmani concludes, "Whatever the outcome, the future of European security and the rules-based international order hang in the balance." Rahmani's book is thoroughly researched, with over 100 pages of detailed footnotes. Readers who are interested in the history of Ukraine, Russian aggression, and global politics will definitely want to read this book. Dr. Samuel Rahmani completed his doctorate in 2021 at the University of Oxford. He teaches politics and international relations at the University of Oxford and is an associate fellow at the Royal United Services Institute. He is a regular contributor to publications such as Foreign Policy and The Washington Post. He has appeared on the BBC, CNN, and Al Jazeera. He also advises government agencies in the United Kingdom, the United States, as well as NATO. Putin's War in Ukraine is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Thank you, Myra, for another thorough and thoughtful review. Join us again soon for another Knyzhka Corner book review with Myra Junik here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In the meantime, if you'd like to listen again to this or Myra's previous reviews, or read the transcript, you can find them archived at our website, www.nashholos.com. That is a Ukrainian artist by the name of Jacqueline, who is living in Germany, and that song was called Welcome to Ukraine. Up next, the audio of a YouTube video called Taras Shevchenko, Poet of Ukraine. This is a production of Origins, Current Events, and Historical Perspective at the Goldberg Center in the Department of History at The Ohio State University and the Department of History at Miami University. The piece was written by Stephen M. Norris and narrated by Dr. Nicholas B. Brayfogle.
When Ukrainian troops liberated the town of Borodyanka from Russian occupation in early April 2022, they discovered the damage done to its Taras Shevchenko monument. Bullets had hit the great poet's forehead. The pillar holding him up had been damaged by shells. The symbolism of the Russian attack on the monument was obvious. Taras Shevchenko is not just the founder of the modern Ukrainian literary language, but he's also the most important symbol of modern Ukrainian nationhood. Born a serf in March 1814 on an estate just over 100 miles from Kyiv, Shevchenko demonstrated an early aptitude for art. When his owner moved to St. Petersburg in 1831, he took Taras with him. Shevchenko started to paint and write, and recognizing his talents, a handful of prominent Russian and Ukrainian artists purchased his freedom. Liberated from bondage, Shevchenko turned to poetry. In 1840, he published his first collection, Kobzar, named after the bards who sang tales on their stringed instrument, the Kobza. Shevchenko's poems imagined Ukraine as a distinct nation with a people, culture, and history separate from Russia. Inspired by his reading of romantic histories, Shevchenko's Kobzar appropriated the history of the Cossacks for Ukraine. The freedom they embodied became a potent inspiration for Ukrainian readers. For example, his 1838 poem, Night of Taras, about a 1630 peasant revolt, included these lines. Ukraine, oh my dear Ukraine, trampled by the Polacks, my dearest, when I think of you, my homeland, my heart can only cry. Whither all the Cossacks, whither their red coats, whither our good fortune, and whither blessed freedom. Shevchenko would also contrast Ukrainians with Russians. Katerina, one of his most beloved poems, tells the tragic tale of a Ukrainian village girl seduced and then betrayed by a Russian soldier. It warns from the first lines, "Fall in love, you dark-browed girls, but not with Muscovites, for Muscovites are strangers. They will do you wrong." Kobzar brought Shevchenko acclaim. It also led to trouble. Traveling back to the Ukrainian lands, he lamented the lack of freedom among members of his family and members of his nation. He painted Ukrainian national landscapes and historical sites in an album he titled Picturesque Ukraine. And he also befriended members of a secret society devoted to the right of Slavic peoples, including Ukrainians, to be independent. Arrested in 1847, Tsar Nicholas I exiled the poet to an army post on the steppe frontier. The Tsar also forbade Shevchenko from writing or painting. Freed from his imprisonment only in 1857, Shevchenko remained exiled from his beloved Ukraine. He never returned. He died in St. Petersburg 1 week before Tsar Alexander II announced the emancipation of the serfs in 1861. In the 1845 poem Testament, Shevchenko asked, "When I die, bury me in my own beloved Ukraine." The poem also spoke to the mixing of his personal and political aims. "O bury me, then rise ye up and break your heavy chains, and water with the tyrant's blood the freedom you have gained." Shevchenko's words, written in the Ukrainian language, remained a threat to the Tsarist government. In 1863, the Interior Minister prohibited most forms of publication in the language, which Russian authorities termed, quote, Little Russian. 13 years later, Tsar Alexander II extended this ban to include all publications in Ukrainian. Yet, Shevchenko's significance lived on. An 1894 biography published in Russian acknowledged that his muse was Ukraine because there he could soak up, quote, his native atmosphere, his native natural landscape, his native people. His poems continued to circulate and crossed imperial borders to inspire Ukrainians living in the Habsburg lands. After the revolutions and civil war that briefly led to the first ever independent Ukraine, the Soviet state tried to co-opt the idea and legacy of Shevchenko. Because of his background, Shevchenko could be rebranded as a revolutionary who had fought oppression for his people and for others. The bard of the Ukrainian people, as one 1939 newspaper article declared, was, quote, a great patriot and poet of the friendship of peoples. Statues of Shevchenko were built in the Soviet era, including the well-known one in the center of Kiev and the one in nearby Borodyanka. Soviet authorities heralded Shevchenko as, quote, the great son of Ukraine, as an article from 1984 declared him. But he also remained a potent symbol for an independent Ukraine, his poems a reminder of its essential characteristics. When Ukraine gained independence in 1991, Shevchenko served as its spiritual founding father. Back in Borodyanka this past April, Yaroslav Halupchik, an artist from nearby Kiev, saw the damaged statue and immediately launched an art project. He called it The Healing of Shevchenko. Halupchik wrapped a bandage around the poet's wounds. Former Ukrainian Minister of Culture turned soldier, Yevnishchuk, happened to witness the bandaging and proclaimed, quote, "This is really important because we all know that Shevchenko and other Ukrainian poets were always enemies of Russia. I really hope that people will rebuild everything here as it was, but we should keep this as it is now."
Слухайте наш голос Радіо Українського коріння, котре подається вам на хвилі CHLY 101.7 FM у місті Нанаймо.
You're listening to Наш Голос Ukrainian Roots Radio on CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo. And now the latest news from Ukraine, courtesy the Kiev Independent, Ukraine's largest and fastest growing English language news organization. Russian forces launched dozens of missiles towards Kyiv early in the morning of March 21st, injuring at least 13 people and causing damage to homes and infrastructure throughout the city. According to Kyiv Mayor Vitaly Klitschko, at least 2 people were hospitalized. Serhiy Popko, head of the Kyiv City Military Administration, said one of the Shevchenkivsky district victims was an 11-year-old girl. The attack damaged apartment buildings, a kindergarten, a business, infrastructure, and vehicles. Emergency services are working at the attack sites, and the full extent of the damage is being investigated amid ongoing attacks. The Air Force reported that Russian forces launched 2 ballistic missiles as well as 29 cruise missiles from the Volgodonsk area in Rostov Oblast. All 31 missiles were downed by Ukraine's air defense. A series of explosions occurred in the capital around 5 a.m., Klitschko said. Kyiv Independent correspondents reported hearing over a dozen in the city. Falling rock fragments in the Podilsky district caused a fire to break out at a transformer substation and at a 2-story non-residential building. A residential building in the Shevchenkivsky district was also hit, and residents were evacuated from the burning building. A warehouse of the online retailer Rosetka was damaged while 99 employees were on shift. While the building, cars, and goods suffered heavy damage, no staff members were hurt as they were in a shelter during the attack. Missile fragments also hit civilian areas elsewhere in Kyiv Oblast, damaging houses and injuring 2 people. The missiles that Russia launched in the mass attack against Kyiv on March 21st had an estimated total of 1,500 foreign components, President Volodymyr Zelensky said in his evening address. The 31 missiles consisted of 2 Kinzhal ballistic missiles and 29 KH-101 KH-555 cruise missiles. A single Russian KH-101 cruise missile uses at least 53 types of foreign-made parts, while Kinzhal uses at least 49 foreign-produced components, according to Zelensky. A major part of the components in Russian missiles are made by companies in the free world and imported to Russia through various gray schemes, Zelensky said. It is crucial to block such schemes and all those who facilitate them. More sanctions are needed, Zelensky said. This must be stopped, and the world has the needed tools. Despite extensive Western sanctions aimed at suffocating Russia's war effort, Moscow continues to obtain sanctioned goods such as microchips, via third-party countries, fueling its defense production. There are currently 790 people remaining in Chasiv Yar, a town just 5 kilometers from the front line in Donetsk Oblast, Governor Vadim Falashkin reported on March 20th. The town had a population of 12,000 in January 2022. Around 70% of the town has been destroyed since the start of the full-scale invasion. The vast majority of the remaining population are elderly people who refused evacuation. "We are still providing locals with humanitarian aid," Falashkin said. Russian attacks on Chasiv Yar regularly kill and injure the civilians left in the town. Earlier this month, spokesperson of the Khortytsia group of Ukraine's armed forces, Ilya Yevlash, said that Russia has accumulated a large force in the sector and is currently launching a powerful thrust towards Chasiv Yar. Chasiv Yar lies around 10 kilometers west of Bakhmut and 50 kilometers north of Avdiivka, two settlements that Russia captured in May 2023 and February 2024, respectively. The railway Russia is constructing in the occupied territories of Ukraine, which leads to Crimea, is a serious challenge and an important target for Kyiv, Andriy Yusov, a spokesperson of Ukraine's military intelligence, said on March 21st. Moscow started the construction of a railroad between Russia's port city Rostov-on-Don and occupied Crimea, which would run via occupied Donetsk, Mariupol in Donetsk Oblast, and Berdyansk in Zaporizhia Oblast. The railroad will likely serve as an alternative to the Crimean Bridge, which Russia currently uses as a logistics route to resupply its forces in Crimea. However, due to Ukraine's frequent attacks on Crimea, the bridge is not fully operational, Yusov said. "They are not satisfied with what is happening with the Crimean Bridge," he said, "therefore they are trying to strengthen the railroad connection." Yusov said that it's Ukraine's mission to prevent Russia from completing the construction. The Executive Board of the International Monetary Fund approved a third review of Ukraine's $15.6 billion loan program. This decision enables the release of $880 million designated for budget support, bringing the total disbursement to $5.4 billion, the IMF announced on March 21st. The international lender emphasized that Ukraine continues to face exceptionally high risks, mainly due to uncertainties related to the ongoing war with Russia and the outlook for external financial support. However, Ukraine Mission Chief Gavin Gray said that the IMF anticipates the war in Ukraine to de-escalate by the end of 2024, according to Reuters. Gray said that Ukraine has maintained a robust performance on the IMF program throughout its initial year, meeting all but one of the quantitative performance criteria. The single discrepancy pertained to tax revenues, which was of minor significance. Ukraine is expected to receive the funds in the coming days. Kristalina Georgieva, managing director of the IMF, emphasized that Ukraine's macroeconomic and financial stability has been preserved despite enormous social and economic costs due to Russia's full-scale invasion. "The economy has been resilient, with stronger-than-expected macroeconomic outturns in 2023. Ukraine's performance and commitment under the program has continued to be strong," she said. "Steadfast reform momentum to enhance anti-corruption and governance frameworks, including ensuring the effectiveness of anti-corruption institutions, will be essential to help contain fiscal risks, enhance growth, and support the path to EU accession." Since the beginning of its full-scale invasion on February 24, 2022, Russia has lost 433,840 troops in Ukraine, the General Staff of Ukraine's Armed Forces reported on March 21st. This number includes 750 casualties Russian forces suffered just over the previous day. According to the report, Russia has also lost 6,832 tanks, 13,074 armored fighting vehicles, 14,242 vehicles and fuel tanks, 10,740 artillery systems, 1,018 multiple launch rocket systems, 721 air defense systems, 347 airplanes, 325 helicopters, 8,365 drones, 26 ships and boats, and a submarine. And that's the news from Ukraine for today. Coming to you courtesy the Kyiv Independent, Ukraine's largest and fastest-growing English-language news organization. For more up-to-date news stories as they happen, visit their website, kyivindependent.com, and make sure to follow them on social media. To allow this independent Ukrainian news team to continue delivering you news from on the ground in Ukraine, please consider becoming a member at kyivindependent.com.
На дворі червоніє, синіє далина, десь вогник розгорівся, хтось пісню погочина, коли на крилях ночі на землю сон злетить, я в темний гай виходжу з квітками. Ночі на землю сон злетить, я в темний гай виходжу з квітками гомонить. Мені шептала роза, я бачила його. Учора вранці рвав він квітки з куща мого. Шептав мені барвінок, і я його зустрічав. Засмучений ходив він, весь світ мій поготоптав. Шептав мені барвінок, і я його зустрічав. Засмучений ходив він, весь світ мій поготоптав.
And a lovely young Ukrainian singer recently on the scene, that was Sofika Leshishak and Nadvori Chervonia, a song about the sunset outside the door. Coming up next is a group called Hulyai Dusha and Oite Halya, a tragic story about a young girl who defies her mother and ends up meeting a very nasty fate. Нагадую, ви слухаєте радіопередачу «Наш голос», радіо нашого коріння на радіостанції CHLY 107FM у місті Нанаймо. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час свідомо і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим, цими словами мудрості. Все так буває, що кожний собі здоров'ю та щастя бажає. And our proverb of the week translates as, it is so that everyone wants health and happiness. And that brings us to the end of another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo. In between broadcasts, please stay in touch with us via our Facebook page. For transcripts, audio archives, and a link to our podcast, visit www.nashholos.com. You can also find a link to our Patreon site there if you'd like to support our work. And of course, you can always find Nash Holos on your favorite podcast app. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of Oksana, myself, and all of us here at CHLY, thanks for listening. Do zusidici.
Заграйте нам хопака! Хоп-хоп!
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.